What's up, everybody? Welcome to round two with Fernando Villegas, Brooklyn Boxing Podcast. How's it going, man?
It's going good, brother. How you doing?
Good. Thanks for coming out here. I know it's first time at the studio. It's It's a pretty cool little spot, right?
Yeah, it's got flavor. I like it. You know, yeah. I like it. It's got a good vibe.
Yeah.
French, thank you for having me here.
French did a good job. So
as he always does, you know?
Exactly.
As he always does. I met him when – how did we meet? We did a shoot, but how did we – yeah, how did – like someone linked us up and we shot this amazing thing. I mean, it was fun, you know, back in the days where the 5D Canon just came out and I show up and we're like, wait, what? It's a little tiny camera, but we did. It's like you said, it still carries too. It's a good frame.
That's awesome.
But yeah.
Well, it all came here now. So.
Yeah, that's dope. That's dope.
Yeah, man. So, you know, I wanted to talk a little bit about you growing up in Philly.
Mm-hmm.
You know, Philly's such a fight town, obviously.
No doubt.
Through the movies with Rocky, uh-huh. Mm-hmm. And then obviously with the historic fighters from there.
Yeah.
You know, Joe Frazier, mm-hmm. and Bernard Hopkins are just a couple of mm-hmm. the legendary guys from there. So I was curious, you know, when you're growing up in Philly. You know, as a fan of fighting and, you know, Joe Frazier, he must've been somebody for you that was an icon to watch.
Well, definitely. I mean, Joe Frazier icon. But you know, for me, the era, although I came up in Philly, and there's no doubt Philly is a fight town, mm-hmm. and more ways than just, you know, the ring, you know what I mean?
the fans at sporting events.
You know, we call it the city of brotherly hate, you know what I mean? Yeah. But it has that vibe, man. It mm-hmm. creates fighters because you have to be no matter what, you know? And Frazier, definitely icon historically. And then for me, B-Hop, watching him come up, that's more my era, you know what I mean?
Yep.
But for me, like, I'm Mike Tyson's punch out. You know,
yeah.
Tyson growing up, like,
yeah.
And always, and that's, I mean, that's cliche in a sense, but, you know, it was watching, what was more important was, like, the atmosphere of watching a fight when it came on, mm-hmm. and the importance of, like, getting people together to watch it.
Yeah.
So to me, it was like, you know.
Were there a lot of moments of that, like, growing up for you, where you're, like, you're sitting around with your dad or family or whoever watching the big fight?
Yeah, with the older folks, and it's, like, watching the fight and seeing the excitement, mm-hmm. seeing how people – and then, yeah, watching this spectacle happen. And mm-hmm. That's what really attracted me more to that sport, because it was stories, you
yeah.
know? And that's where sort of the fan aspect of who I am with boxing happened, you
okay.
know? It wasn't so much like, oh, going back into the history of it. And I was like, wow, man, this is amazing and how it brings people together.
For sure.
You know, and it's like, you know, brings that kind of people together, you know, like my older friends or uncles and people like that. And they were like watching them fight the air as the fights got hype. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, you know, and then I branched off and, you know, got into, you know, because of my history and a film being made about me growing up in Philly, you know, I got into telling stories and documentary work and things of that sort. And then my path took me in that sense for many years. And although I had, you know, choices whether to go to narrative and be involved in films, I knew I was an AC to a great DP. Who was shooting, you know, commercials at the time, but then he ended up shooting some amazing films. And I went down the path of learning how to be an editor, you know?
Yeah.
And that path then led me to, like, you know, New York, where yep. I moved to New York when I was about 19, 20 years old, to my first job, which was a documentary production house. And that led me to meeting someone who brought me into a post house facility, one of the biggest ones in New York that did only sports,
okay.
you know?
So that was your first, like, all of the work you had done previous,
mm-hmm.
not really fight-related,
not
right?
fight-related no. at all. So it was like, you know, mind you, for me, though, HBO and HBO Sports was, like, that was the iconic aspect of my history, you know? Like,
yeah.
wow, HBO. And HBO Sport was boxing. You know what I mean? And that's what we got around, you know. You either had the bootleg, you know, cable just to get HBO, you know, or you however by every means you got it and you sat down and watched HBO boxing.
Yeah.
And as you know, fate had it, man, you know, my road, although I was never going to be a boxer, I did PAL when I was young to keep me out of some trouble, and but that was it, you know what I mean? Occasionally watch the fights. Every time HBO had a fight, that was what I was doing that yep, Saturday, yep. You know what I mean? And, you know, all of a sudden one day I meet someone and I get hooked up with HBO. Mm-hmm. And it wasn't for boxing. It was for a show they had called Real Sports with Brian Gumbel. And I did
just a little show.
Just yeah. a little show. And, you know, I worked my ass off to get to the point where I could be trusted with that story as an editor.
Right.
And mind you, before then, I was doing Olympic work. I did camera work and editorial work for Olympics, Wimbledon. I was deeply involved in the sports and telling athlete stories, you know?
Yeah.
But then the opportunity came after I did a Real Sports with Brian Gumbel, where the producers of boxing, which was a separate department, heard about the work I did, and I was asked to come on to take part in editing the content for Tyson Lewis.
Yeah.
And that's when everything changed, yeah. You know?
Yeah.
I mean, like, what was going on at that time, yeah. Tyson was going nuts. He was going crazy, you know? And the energy of, like, the pressers, you know, the energy of, like, building up to that fight, you know? And I was like...
The pressers of that fight were insane. I remember seeing interviews with, like, Lennox Lewis after the skirmish, and he's like, I felt something on my leg.
Yeah,
and I
dude.
Start pushing down, and I see it's Mike. He's biting my leg.
Yeah,
it's
dude.
Like, what the hell is
oh,
going
on? Oh, and that rant like, he did at the end
the
of
rant,
it, dude.
Like, I won't say what he was, but oh, my God.
No,
like,
none of us can
was,
say that,
oh,
dude, but he did, and that's what made it great.
Yeah.
And that's what the stories are about.
Yeah.
You know, like, this dude who was, like, going through this amazing moment in his life where he was transitioning, he was going crazy. He was like no longer the guy that he was. And to like capture that and tell that story to promote a fight against another guy who I felt was, you know, underrated to me, you know, Lewis, I mean, like,
right,
fucking dope to watch.
He was a
dude.
Monster. Yeah.
He was a monster. And I remember him saying something so amazing where like he goes, I like to bring him into the deep waters and watch them drown. And that takes time.
Yeah.
And I was like, that's going in the piece, man. You know what
yeah.
I mean? So as a young sort of like, you know, storyteller, I started to really understand like what creates the hype for something, you know?
Yeah.
And having the opportunity to work with amazing producers and storytellers themselves,
yeah.
that was my road from then on. You know what I mean? Although I did other, you know, I was freelance at the time. I did not work directly for HBO. I would always end up any big fight, I was on it,
yep.
you know. And eventually, I got to shoot ringside, which is like that was
incredible.
You
but
know?
For Lennox and Tyson, you know, two just iconic figures in the sports of boxing, and you know, with the camera work involved with those two men in the lead up, you know, talk to me a little bit about your process and like your perspective of. How can I capture these guys in the best way to fit the promotion or to fit my style? Like, what was the...
Mind you, at that point in my relationship with boxing, I did not do camera work for HBO.
Okay.
And the camera work was very specific. You know, even in the storytelling, it was what we call archival. You know, you had the ENG camera operators that shot the fight, you know, and two corner guys. I became very good friends with these guys throughout the years, and they, you know, knew how to capture a live event. It's a very incredible skill to have. And then they'd send crews to shoot pressers. And this was at a time where HBO had created a system of how to cover this that by the time I got into the game, it became antiquated, you know? And, you know, in working with HBO, and in working with, like I said, some really talented people, we knew that we had a shift and pivot on how we start telling these stories. And it was, you know, in that era, we did countdown shows. We did, and literally we would like find all this archival footage, shoot some interviews with some reporters and of course Lampley and, you know, and then we tell a story to promote a fight, but it didn't have...
The authentic feel.
It didn't have like what it became, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And it took a few years to like in several fights for, you know, that paradigm to shift, you
mm-hmm.
know? And for people to understand like, you know, the how we express and how we promote the sport is becoming stagnant, you know? And And this is at a moment in time too where the sport was at the beginnings of becoming a fringe sport, you know. If you think about the era that, you know, of the great fighters, you know, boxing was it. That was the top, you know?
Oh yeah.
And you talk about people putting their tuxedos on to go to the Garden. You know what I mean? You talk about, like, you know, fights all over the world, you know. When we were kings, that great fucking doc, you know. It, like, that vibe was real, man, you know. And it was like, it was epic. And boxers had a real personality. You think about Ali and the statement he made, you know, using the platform of a fighter, you know, to say no to going to Vietnam. And you can't call him a coward, you know, because he's a fighter, you know.
He's
a dude that's but he was making statements. People were making statements, and other people's, you know, they were just telling their story. And then something happened where it just, you know, the way with anything that sort of like exists, it has to change. It has to evolve.
Yeah.
And I was so lucky to come into the boxing game as that was just about to happen.
Yeah. Talk about that shift that was made, like, once the birth of 24/7 and, you know, the fight that really did that. I know you mentioned the Mayorga and De La Hoya was really that monumental fight in boxing history, really, that changed the way it was promoted, how people consumed the sport.
Exactly.
And, you know, it affected the Vegas odds, everything, like, such an impact. So,
I mean,
what went into that promotion and why did it make that big change?
What went into that promotion was one of the first longer format pieces I cut was Gotti Mayweather. And it was, you know, they did some up-to-date shooting with that, you know, and we did this show. It was but it was more like newsy style, you know. We were shooting on old cameras. They were called beta cams, you know.
Okay.
Mind you, if you looked at content that was coming out of the boxing world and content that was coming out of the Olympics, there was an extremely vast difference. You're talking about something that you
in
could,
the quality of and cameras
the quality and, yep. of everything. You're talking about Olympic with cinema. They knew how to take a story and inflame it and make it epic and grandiose on a figure skater, on a runner, you know? And I was doing that work too. So I was more accustomed to, this is what I love to do in the sense of artistry. This is what I love to do because of the subject matter, you know? So that was happening. And there was a young producer named Jason Hare, who, you know, we were having these discussions anyway, you know? And we were like, man, because he came from the Olympic world as well, and NBC. And NBC was, you know, network television, and it demanded a quality, you know, for its broadcast.
Right.
I remember, you know, when I was hired to do my first Olympics, Dick Ebersol, who ran NBC Sports, having a conversation, you know, I was like kind of nervous. And I was like, I wanted to show people the work. And he's like, oh, we don't need to see it. You were hired for a reason. If it airs and you fuck up, then that's it. You're gone. You know what I mean? That's what you were hired because, you know, you're about HBO. You know, wasn't like that. It was more like people were really controlling of what they were doing. And then that needed to change in a sense. So Jason Hare got an opportunity to produce his first countdown show.
Okay.
And it was De La Hoya Mayorga. And before anybody knew anything about this fight, everybody's like, this is a shit fight. Who can I curse on this thing?
Yeah.
We're like, who gives a fuck about De La Hoya Mayorga? You know, the Golden Boy's going out for another paycheck. You know what I mean? And at this point, Oscar was not the guy he was in the sense of like, yo, Oscar, we know what you're doing. You know, you're doing
you're
money.
Just coming off the loss to B-Hop.
Exactly. Yeah. You're doing money grabs now, bro.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, that loss was devastating. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that was a devastating.
And everybody was like, you know, it's like it wasn't a real loss, dude, because you I'm looking for the word, you took a dive.
I don't know about that shot to the body.
People,
was,
that was the narrative of the time. He took a dive. Because that
crazy.
Shot was amazing. But every angle the camera showed, it didn't look amazing.
Yeah.
You had to look for the real angle in the slow-mo to be like, no.
Yeah.
And then every reporter, every like,
it had a little
came
bit
out
of
like,
that
no.
like phantom punch with Ali.
Yeah.
And
that little moment where he was like, wait, what happened to my body? And his body drops.
Mm-hmm.
But so Oscar needed to like rebuild himself. And us behind the scenes knowing Mayorga and how incredibly vibrant he was and the character that he was.
And his backstory.
His backstory was amazing. He was gangs and from Nicaragua. You know what I mean? He was a gang fucking fighter. Nicaragua fighting in those like serious like backstreet rings.
Terrible, yeah.
You know, like all
I
out.
I know he'd been stabbed like numerous times.
Everything. He was... Didn't give a... they shot... They brought back the footage because I didn't go. And there's a shot of him with a machete talking about how he's going to kill Oscar De La Hoya. Smoking a cigarette, and it's like,
yeah,
what?
That
this
was like
dude's
his,
amazing.
That was like his
know?
Thing. I think he's like on the cover of like Ring magazine.
Yeah,
and I know he against like Shane Mosley. I remember he in the weigh-in, he showed up with a cigarette
yeah,
in his mouth.
Right
through, and, like,
he didn't give a fuck.
He was a bad dude. Yeah.
He was a bad dude, and you know what? There was always he could hit.
Mm-hmm. He was tough.
He was tough as nails, yeah. Dude. So there was always that possibility, and we get this footage back, and stylistically, we decided to do something that was more cinematic, you know. And to exploit that reality in a sense of, you know, inflaming those qualities in him that made him dangerous.
Mm-hmm.
Even though, by all means, he wasn't. He was no danger to Oscar De La Hoya. At any moment, was he? But we exploited that. And HBO pivoted in the sense of, how do we tell these stories now? Because we need to sell these fights.
Right.
We're part of, it's a business, you know? And we spent, I think... 2 weeks editing that show from all the footage that was gathered. It was all real time, watching them train, doing all that. And we edited a show which had music in it. It had vibe. It had all these things. I wish I could find this thing we made. I don't, because it's so old. It's, I don't even know if it lives on the net. And I've always been fascinated, like, because we were all hype. We don't even know what we were building. We're just cutting things, fighting the execs on, like, you know, they're like, this is too weird. It's too new. You know what I mean? And that's always the problem with, you know, corporate structures. They're like, whoa, we don't, this is weird. It's not what we're used to, but you have to fight them. You have to fight them.
Yeah.
And eventually we did it. It aired. And I remember I was working on something else and Jay Harry goes, yo, we're on the radio, you know? And I was like, oh, that's dope. Didn't care, you know?
Yeah.
He's like, no. We're in the papers. This show's in the papers. And he's like, there's hype around this fight. And people start talking about De La Hoya Mayorga. People start saying, yo, this fight's dope. People start saying, yo, De La Hoya's in trouble, you know?
Yeah.
Vegas said, yo, we got the odds have changed because people are now really betting, you know? And all that promoted a fight and sold this fight as a major fight because of one show. And boom, everybody gets paid. De La Hoya did exactly what we all thought and knew he was going to do to Mayorga.
Yeah.
Puts him on his ass.
Yeah, he punished him.
Punished them. where he was like on the ground like.
Credit
no
to
months.
Mayorga though. He did like, I mean, he showed so much toughness.
Yeah, of
like,
course.
He was getting cracked and he was showboating.
I loved that about him. Like, yeah, hit me again, like sticking his chin out, you know?
I mean, that guy, he's going out on his shield every time.
Every
you know?
Time. And you know what? He did for the most part because although he was, you know, he was tough, he just wasn't at that skill level, you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And De La Hoya, put him on his ass. He put up a good show, but you know what happened then was promoters came to realize how powerful a tool it is to tell stories, not just promote under the guise of cinema. Not just like, hey, this is happening on this date, go to Ticketmaster, whatever, you know?
Right.
It was like, no, how do we promote by exploiting, you know, a more cinematic expression of what this is happening,
mm-hmm.
and not sell it to a fan in the sense of like, you know,
yep.
No, we want them to get emotionally attached to what's happening, and 24/7 was born. And I, at this point, I was doing mostly editorial work, but it was De La Hoya, Pacquiao. What was the first 24/7? This is how long ago it was. Because I chose De La Hoya. I was like, I want to go to De La Hoya's camp for a month.
Yep.
And that was in Guaynabo, Puerto Rico. And it was dope.
I mean, the 24/7 is like the gold standard for... Yeah. behind the scenes action. Uh-huh. Like everyone has tried to mimic it in their own way now. Everyone does a form of it now.
Yeah.
Like the Zone has their, I don't even know what they call it. Like 40 days, I believe they call it, something like that.
All Access.
Yeah. Yeah. And Showtime. And, you know, everyone does it now, but that was like the gold standard of backstory, like leading up, hyping the fight. Uh-huh. And, you know, I know you said you did some film and work with Floyd and his camp, and there's so many of his fights on 24/7 were iconic, like iconic moments of him jogging in the street with the Rolls Royces in the back and his whole team's riding the bikes with him. He's in the gym at 4 a.m. and like those scenes from those 24/7 moments, I feel like really they must have launched Floyd tremendously, because his style of fighting, obviously, you know, earlier in his career he was knocking people out, but then when he became Money May, you know, the excitement, his fighting was not what drew people in. It was his wealth and his showboating and the story of how his lifestyle was. And I know you can speak to that in terms
I mean, definitely. I mean, you think about like bringing it back to that first one, shooting with an athlete, a boxer, for a month in training camp. You get to know something. And you get access to a person that is seriously training for a big fight. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And you can't do that by sending a crew out for a weekend.
No.
You can't do that by, you know, doing what they normally did. Send a guy out for a day to training camp, shoot with a guy asking questions. The more comfortable they became with us having those cameras around, the more they let go and the more we captured those moments that showed you a person for who they were, in a sense.
Mm-hmm.
And yeah, without 24/7, I firmly believe Floyd Mayweather would not have been the star that he was today. His style was not conducive to people wanting to really see it. But he knew, and he was intelligent. He knew that I can be a bad guy.
Yeah.
And people will want to watch me either for me to win because they're down with my values.
Or get fucked up
because they hate me, you know? And that was so intelligent of him.
Yeah.
And he exploited it and he knew it. Believe me, he was not easy to work with. That's why I always did the opposite, the opposing fighter, you know?
Yeah.
Plus, to be a part of going Wales with Calzaghe, you know, going Hatton in Manchester, that was so dope for me.
Hatton was so beloved by his fans, too.
So he was
like
such a dude. He welcomed me and my brother into that gym, because I got my brother on board, of course.
Okay.
And Stukas, an amazing DP, you know, and this great crew. And he was just like, here's my life. Mm-hmm. This is what I'm doing. And then you hear, like, Billy Graham was his coach, and the weird shit. Like, I remember they were interviewing Billy Graham, and he was like, yeah, my fighters, you know, they're like fighting dogs. I got to see them butt naked, you know? And that's how I know. And we're like, what? What are you talking? Like, we're like, what? That's super weird, but at the same time we get it, you know. But that's going on air,
it's,
man,
primal,
you know,
shit. Yeah.
Primal shit. With one saying, he said, yeah, this is primal. He's a fighter, he's a beast, he's an animal, you know what I mean? And you know, those were the stories we could tell, that stuff that you need time to spend with someone to say. When, you know, Floyd was saying the shit he was saying, you were like, whoa, this guy's complex, you know what I mean? So that era was born and fights became big again. And you know, for that first one we did, and, you know, for us in our business to be able to win Emmy, we won almost Emmy category in, you know, for that series, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because people saw the value in it. And you're right. It changed how sports was being presented, you know?
It did.
And everybody's doing it now and everybody's going. And it was an awesome era. Awesome. For a moment there, I believe we were bringing boxing back to where it should be. You know, and then
it's all about creating those characters that people can latch on to,
exactly,
and like find hope in and inspiration in. And there's no better way to do it than a 24/7, or you know, everyone tries to mimic it now, but it's so important for like the lead up and for the fans to get involved, because at the end of the day, the fight doesn't always live up to the hype.
Nope.
So it's
more than none. Actually.
So,
you know what
so
I mean?
It's like, but you know, you look at Floyd's last fights, of course, with like the McGregor buildup, that was a spectacle on its own, due to McGregor stardom and the trash talk and the press conferences. You know, there is the entertainment value was high there for the casual fan.
Oh yeah.
But for Floyd, it's like his fighting style you know, Andre Berto, one of his last fights, was that an exciting fight to watch? No. But it's still, he's still making, you know, whatever it was, nine figures.
Dude, he did that deal with Showtime where he fleeced them, dude. He fleeced them. You know what I mean? And the fights were not worth it at the end. Everybody's learning lessons, but he did it.
He did it. He
built his persona to the point where he was valued at that level, you know? And he was Money May. Yo, he's a serious businessman. But what did he do to the sport? You see what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
It's like he was intelligent. And he was intelligent in a sense of, how do I exploit this for self?
Yeah.
But what he did to the sport then is he created, you know, he instead of bringing what the old idea of boxing was to the forefront, he brought this underlying idea, which was business. It became more of a business-orientated sport than a sport to entertain, than a sport to inspire, than a sport. So then matches were being made. They were like, these are bullshit matches.
Yeah.
When was the last time you heard of a match that, I mean, they're so rare where you're like, whoa, that fight's dope. We don't need 24/7. We don't need shit because we know. Yep. As a fan, that fight's going to be dope.
Yep.
That's so rare. And to me, it's like, yeah, you made your millions, bro. But, you know, what did you do for the sport, you know? And mind you, like, I've been so entrenched in it that the love of the sport I have for it is profound, you know? The stories, the Golovkins, the Crushers, the Kovalevs, you know? Meeting these guys as they're coming up, Pacquiao, you know what I mean? Going, meeting Canelo when he was, like, so young and knowing, like, whoa, this dude's amazing, you know? Like,
yeah.
He's amazing.
Talk and, about Floyd picking Canelo at the right time.
Oh, my. Now, forget about it. If yeah. he picked it, that's what I'm saying. He was so good at that.
Yeah.
He was so smart at being like, I'm going to get him now.
Yep.
Now's the time. Either when they're too young or too old. Yep. You know what I mean?
And it's such a, I'm conflicted on it because, like, I'm with you on mm-hmm. what you were just saying in terms of, you know, this kind of the integrity of the sport being hurt in some ways. But there is the side of people do die in there.
Yep.
Make your money. Fuck what people think about how you fight or what you do. Take as little damage as possible. Get the money and mm-hmm. get out.
Yeah.
Which is like Floyd won. He won the game. But it's like, what did he do for the next generation of fighters? What did he do for the sport? There's definitely negative aspects. Now fighters are scared to take a loss on their record. There's yeah. young kids like a Devin or Ryan Garcia fighting yeah. tomorrow night or tonight. Mm-hmm. He's fighting. Yeah, tonight. So Ryan Garcia, you know, he's a young kid. Oscar De La Hoya mm-hmm. is promoting him like he's the yeah. next Oscar. And there's fighters out there for him, like a Devin Haney, who's also a really young guy.
Mm-hmm.
Or a Gervonta Davis, that would be tremendous matchups, but that it won't happen.
No.
Not for 10 years.
No.
Because they can't risk taking a loss because the casual fan will throw them away.
Exactly. And they're an investment now. And that's what I'm saying. It's like there has to be a middle ground, you know? Yeah, of course. You know, I've been ringside when dudes got majorly injured and hurt, and like Magomed, you know?
Yeah.
We talked about that story of, you know, I knew in round one he was fucked up. And that went full distance, bro.
Yeah.
And then that man immediately gets dragged out of there, goes into a fucking coma, and that's what happened, you know? But he knew he was fucked up. He kept asking questions. So, yeah, definitely protect yourself. Definitely, you know, try to have that longevity within that sport. Mm-hmm. But at the same time, the middle ground is you have to bring that energy.
Yeah.
You know, because look at what's happening. You know, we got YouTubers on headlining. You know what I mean? So we can talk about the integrity of the sport. We can talk about all these things. But at the same time, it's like if you want to really save this sport, you have to find that balance.
Yeah.
You know, and I think it's doable. And, you know, the stories are out there. And, yeah, as an audience, you can I hate what I'm about to say, but you can train an audience not to throw that guy away. You can. Think about one of my favorite expressions that I was a part of. One of my favorite shows I ever worked on was Legendary Knights Gotti War Trilogy. You know what I mean? And if you go back and watch that, I'll send you a link because it's I have
please,
that always.
Please.
I've watched that.
Give it to me.
Everything I've ever done, I've watched that like
I know,
20 that times. And that is a way of like when Ward says, how often does a guy that loses 10, 11 fights get a chance to for $1 million? You know? And that was because people took risks at that time, and mm-hmm. they didn't throw him away.
No,
they knew like, oh shit, Ward's, he's at least fun. I mean, yeah, he's losing. He's not a winner. And then Gotti was coming up, and he was a winner. And they're like, oh, that match is gonna be great. And when, I mean, you gotta watch this dude. The emotion in Jim Lampley's face.
Oh my God, yeah, he was brought to tears. I mean, he cries talking about it, and it's like the what those guys left in the ring
was everything.
Everything. Like everything. So many people talk about it now. Like honestly, those should have been stopped. Those fights, like they should have been stopped.
Thank God they weren't.
And thank God they weren't. And thank God nothing happened. But it's like,
well, you know,
the damage that those guys, it's indescribable what they did for the sport with that trilogy. Oh, yeah. It's got to be the best trilogy of all time. Like, history of boxing, it's got to be.
There's no other I know of. I mean, there are definitely, but that
there's
one,
obviously, like, you know,
that
other.
That came at an era where it was all television was everywhere.
Some of the best rounds you'll ever
round
see.
Round nine, first fight. Are you fucking kidding me? That was like, what is going on here? And if you like think about Jim Lampley calling that round in the doc we shot, because the whole doc was basically.
Was Roy Jones on that call as well? Or was it?
Yeah, I think it was Roy. And you, it was. People are going to fucking hate me. I'm terrible with like remembering shit. Yeah, I'm getting old too. But you know, but anyway, Lampley goes, he was yelling for the fight to be stopped. You got to stop it. You got to stop it. He goes, I don't know why I said it. And he was like, well, it was because I lost control. The fight was out of control. The crowd was out of control. And it was just this amazing moment in time. And thank God they didn't stop it, you know?
Yeah.
But that, in a sense, was what I'm saying. If you can story tell your way it back into the sport where it's not the same mundane routine, where you can inspire people to be like, no, man, invest in a fighter, not because he's never lost. Invest in a fighter because of his spirit.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? And people will want to see that fighter.
100%.
And money talks at the end. So if people, it's the supply and demand. If people want to see a guy and don't care, like, who he lost, who gives a fuck, man?
Yeah.
Put him with this guy here, and I guarantee you it's going to be a dope fight.
It's like Hagler-Hearns. Like, people will just remember that forever because it's like those were two champions in their prime, and they didn't come out and feel each other out. They just came out and just said, let's just go. Let's go. It's like
everything counted on it because it did for them.
And it's like, how can you not respect that? Who cares who loses that fight? That's two guys. I mean, I know we'll talk about this later, but Fury and Wilder, like, they're talking about what they're going to bring.
Yeah.
And it's like, but that's the energy that you want. You want guys saying, I'm the best in my era, in my division. Who is going to come take it from me? Like, let's get it. Not let's stack up five guys that are contenders and kind of just continue to hold on to the belt. And you know what that's the promoters want that.
Yeah.
Is to keep the belt in-house. Keep the money coming in. God. Keep the money rolling in.
And they're running the show. But you think about the most amazing fighters in history, not one of them was an all-time winner. They all had their losses.
Everyone loses,
Everyone loses. And it's like, look, cliche or not, we love it as people to be like, but how did they stand back up?
Exactly.
You know? And we were talking about this is like, any sport, the reason we have sport and it's a part of our species is to inspire. You know, you think about the gladiators, you know, you think about like people that put themselves on the line. It was so somebody watching could be like, what, you know, there's hope. You know what I mean? There's hope.
Right.
And I could stand back up when I fall. And failing is a part of life. You know what I mean? So if we sell that more so than like, top winner, never lost, you know, millionaire, bazillionaire.
Yep.
Then people be like, I don't care about that. Mm-hmm. I want to see more of this, you know?
Right, right.
And that's why we remember those old fights, you know? You think about like all those dudes bringing it, putting it all, and getting knocked out on their feet and still fighting, you know, coming back. So to me, that's the value of what I did. And that's what I love to bring.
And you were able to see it ringside.
Dude, ringside.
Which is
shooting.
A whole, like, that's a perspective, you know, that I don't know, that people watching don't know, unless you've literally been ringside. And I'm not talking like sitting, you know, amongst the fans.
No, you're right there.
You're
in the ring, dude.
You're a foot. I'm this close to the guy taking the punches. So it's like, what was that like to see Gotti?
Oh, now you got me like, all like fucking.
Like this,
the
impact, like every little detail is right in front of you. Dude, like these first icons.
Event I shot for HBO, and I was so psyched. I remember, man. It was 2001, I think. And I was like, yo, I'm going to shoot Gotti. Like, mind you, at this point, Gotti was like, he was the man, you know what I mean? And he was fighting this guy named Gomez. And Gomez was the winner of The Contender. That, remember that show? There was a show, and he was the winner of it. And I'm like, yo, this is going to be dope. I'm watching Gotti beat some guy up, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And I was so psyched, and I had this little tiny camera. And I'm ringside, I'm nervous, and I'm like, what the fuck? I don't know.
Were the cameras like,
for me,
describe that, because to me, or
back in that day, listening. I was, that camera I was shooting was a Canon GL1. It was a DV tape. So it was like this little camera. They were still the guys, you know, shooting with the big cameras.
Yep.
And they had headsets on. I didn't have shit. I was just there. I could hear everything, feel everything, you know? And at that point, I wasn't allowed in the ring. I was just, they gave me a spot, and they're like, you stay here and you shoot. But it was a prime spot. Here's, you know, there's the skirt, man. There's the first rope. And I'm here looking at a monitor, looking up, you know, shooting this fight, like playing this instrument of a camera, zooming in, zooming out, trying to get it. And I'm getting this fight. And all of a sudden, I'm like, oh, shit, Gotti's losing. You know, he's fucking losing. And Gomez is working him. And I'm like conflicted. I'm like, whoa, but I have to shoot this. I can't fuck this up. I want to do this. You know what I mean? But he's losing. And that drama was amazing.
What
and
all a of weird sudden, feeling.
It was like, so weird. Yeah. And then it happened. Gomez fucking hits him in the mouth, knocks him down right into me. And I'm getting the shot. And I shit you not, fucking blood goes in my mouth. Sweat is on my face. And blood splatters onto my lens. And I'm shooting this. And I'm like, and Gotti's on all fours on the ground. Camera guys are fucking hating me because I got the spot. And they're like been in that game forever. And they're like, they're still, we're calling the photogs. You know, photogs are trying to get in the shot. I'm elbowing like, no, what the fuck? At that point, I didn't care anymore about how much I love this man.
Right.
Then it's like, I'm capturing something here. And that's me.
Yeah.
And I remember I'm shooting what we call high speed, which is slow motion. Mm-hmm. And he just, this glob, he was swallowing blood for most of the fight, for his own blood. And this glob of blood came out of his mouth. And it was like, and I was like, oh. And I was like, what the fuck? And I finished. And I left. And I was destroyed. And I was elated. All this shit was happening. And then it hit me. Nobody's ever going to see that because he's out of the game. He retired. That's the day he retired.
No way.
And my stuff was always going to be used for promotional stuff, for documentaries. And I was short-sighted then. And then years later, we did the Gotti War trilogy. And I was like, oh, shit, that's my footage from when I was like, dude, this was like, God knows, many years later. You know? And then I was hooked. That was it. I became a ringside shooter for HBO. Eventually, I was hired full-time. To cover boxing and their sports programming. But every fight that came up, I was there watching dudes come up. And then eventually in the ring, eventually they saw the value of what we were doing. Eventually we hired more people and we were covering sports mm-hmm. with these cameras that shot like film, you know? It was the film look at that point and like we grew with them, the Barracams. We shot with P2s, you know? We shot with, now the last one was the Red. I was shooting with a Red AK.
What are the differences between those?
Quality, you know? Like, you know, the last fight, one of the last fights I shot was Canelo Golovkin. And we knew...
The second matchup?
The first one.
The first one.
So we had 8 cameras at that fight, 3 Reds shooting 4K high speed, 120 frames per second. The imagery is beautiful. And... you can really examine the drama of what's happening in a fight. And then we did this short expression where this short piece was like 10 minutes long called Draw in the Desert, where there was no interview. We made almost like a silent film with just the calls and in the atmosphere of the environment. And we told that story in a very cinematic way, and HBO aired it. We were like, are they going to air this? This is weird, different. They're like, it was beautiful. It was a beautiful representation of that fight, mm-hmm. which then was used later to promote. And, you know, we did then the My Fights and leading up to the new fights. Yep. But everything changed, and I was a part of it in that sense where those memories are so vividly a part of my, you know, who I am. Mm-hmm. You know, being in the ring, watching a guy raise his hand, you know, fighting for that position to shoot this amazing person that just went through it, man. Like, Yeah. Fighting's no joke. Like they say, they're not lying. It ain't a sport, man.
No,
this
it's not.
This shit's for real. You know what I mean? Like we talked about, people have lost their lives.
Yeah.
I've known fighters that have taken lives. Mm-hmm. Some of them have been destroyed by it, and some of them, like, it's fighting. He didn't make it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, yeah, that's crazy.
Telling those, like, everybody's got their own take on what it is, but they all know.
Yeah.
This ain't a game. This ain't a sport. And capturing that was, I'll never forget it.
Yeah. I mean, there's nothing like it. There's nothing. There's nothing that can compare. But with the fighters, you know, talking about that sort of mindset that you're capturing these guys that, you know, they're pushing it all forward. They're pushing all their chips in. It's not like another sport. I mean, I know you train, not in boxing, but I know you have like a martial arts background.
Yeah.
And I believe Aikido is where you started.
It's Aikido. It's Japanese swordsmanship. I was going through a pretty like rough patch in my life. I had become extremely unhealthy and out of shape, and I needed something, you know. And we can all relate to that. Like if I was a, you know, like Philly street fighter, you know what I mean? I held my own, you know, all these things. And I fell off from having, you know, myself. And I went off with a friend and we found it. And I saw this dude swinging a live katana, Japanese sword, around wearing the outfit. And I was like, that's the dopest thing I've ever seen. I want to learn how to do that.
Yeah.
And I went for a class. And after I left, I was like, I'm never doing that again. I needed to kneel down in this position called Seiza for like while this, you know, master, they call him a Hansai, was talking for, and I was like, when is this dude going to shut the fuck up? Because this hurts. You know what I mean? And I left and I was sweating. I was like, I'm not doing that. I went home and I think I ate a pint of ice cream and I cried in shame into it. And I was like, I got to go back. And I went back. And then he also taught Gokenpo Jitsu. Okay. Which is a stand-up form that has locking and breaking. But it's a practical art. It's not sport. It's, you can't really spar too much with
That's the difference with the – so how do you pronounce it?
Iaido is just a beautiful expression.
Because that's more of just the – the expression, it's like you were saying. Kendo is more of the competitive form.
Competitive, exactly. And they're two totally different arts in the sense of you cannot fight someone with a real sword with kendo.
Mm-hmm.
No, this is like – you know, once you start learning, it's not like the movies. To fight someone with a sword, especially this style, is the we say it's a thing that happens in one breath. And it's like commitment. You're in front of another person. I hope to never know. Although there was a time I was like, I kind of hope, you know, I want to know after all this fucking swinging the sword around, like, but that you commit and it's that one cut. Very rarely will it be like ding 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 ding, you know. It's like no, like we're here, and the fight actually before is anything, any action is even taken, you will actually know whether you've won or lost that moment. You know what I mean? It's like I committed too early or too late, you know, or I'm coming at this person and they saw me coming a mile away, but the fight happens before you even touch, which the difference is with, because I also train,
so it's off the draw.
It's like, or you're already out, you know, and you're like here and you're just looking and you're moving and you're looking, or you come here or you come here and it's like, where am I coming from? And that guy's a guessing game, and then it's like, and then it's over.
That's like fighting Wilder, probably.
Yes, totally. It's like, oh, and that dude just haymakers you and you're fucking asleep. But then I did Brazilian jiu-jitsu, which is not that. That is, no, me and you are going to fucking grab each other and we're going to tussle and I'm going to impose my will on you, or you're going to do the same to me, and I'm either going to be locked up or falling asleep, or you are. And I loved it.
But it's like the gentle art, right?
It's gentle to an extent. I'm definitely not going to be pummeled, you know? I've sparred in stand-up, and that's going to hurt, you know? But the incredible amount of energy you're spending when you're fighting someone in a form where you're literally grabbing, pushing constantly, and the art is finding the moments to breathe. But that is gonna, the first time I did it, I lasted 30 seconds. And I didn't lose the fight because the guy knew more. I lost the fight because I couldn't breathe anymore. And he was on me, and I was like, 30 seconds, no joke. I was like, get the fuck off me, dude. He's like, are you kidding me? I haven't done anything. you know? And I was like, I can't breathe. I'm spent, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
And then through, you know, really training, and there was an amazing, you know, master professor, Magno Gamma. I mean, with a name like that, you got to be amazing, you know?
Right.
But he, he's serious. He was a Gracie train, you know? It's Astoria, Gracie Astoria, and training there was dope, you know?
The Gracies, they're and iconic. Yeah.
They're iconic, dude. Yeah. So fighting runs in my blood. Warrior shit runs in my blood. So to find boxing was going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And to be able to tell those stories of these dudes. I mean, these are humble athletes. I've done other athletes, but these dudes are like,
but practicing boxing or martial arts for any one discipline or MMA, whatever it is, fighting for many people, myself included, is a form of therapy. It's not, even if you're not a active fighter, which
doesn't
I'm
matter
not, but it doesn't matter
doesn't
training
matter.
Yeah. Everything it's a form of therapy. It's there's something different than other sports, and I know you, like you used it as well, like the jiu-jitsu, and you had an amazing transformation. You mentioned like you lost so much weight from jiu-jitsu, which I mean I can see how that would come off quick.
Yeah.
Because I've taken a few jiu-jitsu classes just because I'm curious, and you know, it's something that I do want to do in the future, 100%. I got to jump in. Yeah. I got to jump in. Like, I've been boxing a lot, but I'd love to do jiu-jitsu as well. But just from the few times that I've done it, probably 3 or 4 classes, I could feel in my back.
Oh, it's no joke, dude.
It's like, because you're in that stand, like you're in that crouch, that pulling, grinding.
Yeah, dude.
Like,
yeah.
Oh, my God. I mean, the pounds must just
fall off. I've worked dudes. My side mount was epic. You know, people were terrified of it. I have a broad chest.
Yeah.
And if I could get in that position, Magno taught me a dope technique where I had them and I'm there and their head is right here. And whenever they would breathe in, I would breathe out. And whenever they would breathe out, I would turn my head. So slowly I was asphyxiating them by denying them oxygen. So they'd be like, and I'm like, and they're just breathing in my fucking shit, no oxygen. And all of a sudden, that's the beauty of the sport. The little things like that, they're losing control. They put a hand out and I'm like, here you go. Mm-hmm. You lost control, you know? But any sport you take on that involves you facing a person in front of you, you're absolutely right. It's therapeutic, man. And that's why a majority of the boxers are humble. Majority of boxers know. Once you've been knocked on your fucking ass, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You know, once you meet that guy who's hungrier or thirstier than you, man, you know. You know what I mean? So, yeah, you know, you think about the dudes that are flamboyant out there and that are talking shit, but that's part of the business. They need to sell fights. But when you get him behind the scenes, you're like, yo, this dude's he'll talk to you, you know? You go out to dinner. I mean, Golovkin, I went out, like, we became friends, you know what I mean? Through the years, we knew each other. And, we, you know, he'd always be like, eat, come on, Pacquiao, going, like, to the biggest fights. He'd invite us to, we'd be shooting in the giant hotel room, and he'd get food for everyone and be like, no, put the cameras down, eat.
Pacquiao's that guy, like, that basically represents everything that we were talking about in terms of the essence of a fighter, the essence of what a fan looks for, what his people in the Philippines look at him as. He is everything that you want a fighter to be, in the sense that he's tremendously skilled, he's a world champion, he fights for a nation behind him, he's a great person, selfless, and it's like he is also willing to put any risk on the table, and he's still doing it.
Yeah,
because he's what, 41, 42 years old, he's in an absolute shark tank in the welterweight division. And it's like, there is no easy fight for him next.
No,
he doesn't have anywhere to go but another shark. He's like, is he gonna fight Spence, Terrence Crawford,
Sean
Porter? Like, who?
Don't fight Crawford.
Like,
dude.
Who?
Pacquiao,
like,
we love you, dude.
I know, but it's
Crawford's
like,
a beast.
I can't doubt him because, like, in the last fight against Keith Thurman, in the prep to that, I'm looking at Pacquiao and I'm like, man, what does this guy have left? You know, like, he's a legend. You can't ever count out a legend. I still love him. And it's like, what he did to Thurman shocked me.
Yeah, dude.
It really shocked me.
Because I was shocked too, because Thurman, dude, I've seen him fight. Like,
he's a dog.
Know, he's fucking, I was like, oh, shit. He's got a shot, but no.
like, even if it was a good fight, like, that wouldn't surprise me. Mm-hmm. But he cooked him. Like, he pressured him from the jump. He put him down in the first round. Thurman looked shocked in there. Like, he was like, what the hell is happening? Dude. Pacquiao, it's like, it's incredible. Oh, so it's like, who am I to say that Pacquiao can't pull it off one more time?
Because that's the fucking sport. You never know. Never know who's going to, like, there's, no matter who, they have a shot.
They have a shot.
They connect right. I don't care who you are, man. Like, look, we were talking about De La Hoya and B-Hop. B-Hop hit him just right.
Yeah, he just right in the ground. Liver.
That was over. It was over, you know? And that could happen with anyone, you know? Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, Pacquiao, firecracker when he was young, got big, you know, amazing to watch fight. The energy, he was like a tornado in there, you know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Shooting ringside, I mean, watching Marquez knock him out that last time.
Oh my God.
Dude, that was epic for me, you know? And I ran into, like, I saw him, I saw it, I was like, boom, I ran into the ring to get the shot. You know, and this is another guy.
Talk about the atmosphere at that fight, because I've heard stories of that atmosphere being people saying of all the fights they'd been to that was like the pinnacle. Like the Mexican fans in the building had that place on another
deafening,
level.
Like, deafening, and then but also you learn, like, you know, one of Pacquiao's promoters was there, and I was getting this shot of him being he was like, doing that, you know. Sucking in air, and the guy goes, get the fuck out of here, don't shoot this. And I fucking said, get the fuck away from me, dude. I've shot him doing this to other people.
Right.
You know?
Yeah.
That's the name of the game. I love the guy, but I'm getting this shot. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And the shot's fucking epic. It's everywhere. You know what I mean? And to me, that's the pride that I have of being a part of that sport, because I no longer do it. HBO lost boxing. Mm-hmm. I've done stuff for Showtime, which is amazing. I did the Wilder Fury. You know, all access shows, which was off those guys, amazing characters, you know.
Amazing.
We did the epilogue for that fight, which was just as amazing. Fucking Fury doing the, you know, rising from the dead routine and watching Wilder be like, what?
For him to rise up in the 12th round the way he did, dude, with the story that he had, yes, the build up, it's like, dude, this is a movie. This is a movie.
It's got to be a movie. Dude. Like, it's got to be. He's awesome. I mean, and just another, like, we had done a story, I didn't do it, but Real Sports did a story on him going to his, you know, where he grew up with the gypsies, you know, and things like that. It was like, awesome. He comes from a fighting family, bare knuckle, you know, mm-hmm. made the transition and tough as nails, you know, went through his, you know, his drama, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And after that, you know, he came back, you know what I mean? He almost lost everything because of, you know,
his demons.
His demons, mental health, man. Yeah. Mental health is serious. And, he came back in like glorious fashion, dude. And now they're doing it again.
Incredible, you know? Yeah. It's really hard to root against.
Oh, you can't. Did you see what he tweeted? Did you see what he fucking tweeted, dude? I'm gonna say this. You
what
know,
about
you're talking
the
kind of,
jerking off seven times a day?
No, He's like, I've been licking a lot of pussy.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, you know, I'm ready. My chin's ready. He's we're like, dude, insane. That's insane, but it's awesome.
Yeah,
dude, you know.
No,
so
he's just
I love
like
these dudes,
he's
man.
Built for this, you know, and like his. He's hilarious.
Yeah, dude.
And he looks in phenomenal shape.
Dude.
Like in the first, when in his comeback, well, I mean, he had a couple tune-ups before Wilder, but regardless, mm-hmm. he was over 400 pounds in less than a year, and a half. Yeah. He was in the ring with the most devastating puncher of all time.
Yep.
My God. And he was like noticeably doughy against Wilder and still was nearly perfect in that fight. I mean, dude. He boxed. Circles around him, and like obviously Wilder just needs one, and he put him down, and like that was enough to get the draw. I get, you know, it's controversial,
it is,
but now his body is noticeably different, noticeably different. So it's like in this rematch, he's talking all this hype, like, I'm gonna come out like Hagler Hearns, and like, I'm gonna just bang with Deontay right away and like get him out of there within two rounds. And it's like, I don't believe you, first of all. But like, maybe he is going to be more pressure. Maybe he is going to be looking to, you know, do less on the back foot. But
maybe, I mean, he has intimate knowledge now. So that does change your approach, you know? You think about what Canelo did with Golovkin after that first exchange, you know what I mean? You know then, you know how this guy hits. You know how he's moving. Maybe... sorry about that.
No problem.
Maybe, you know, that'll change the dynamics, you know, and I hope he does, but I don't know if he will. I mean, Wilder is an amazing threat. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. And
incredible, really.
Incredible, man. I mean, come on, the Bronx Bomber, man. He's dropping bombs for real, you know?
Exactly. And the more I watch Deontay and the more I watch analysts speak on him, I feel like his boxing really is underrated. I think his jab is phenomenal, and I think that his experience, really, like a lot of the people, like Ben Davidson, who's Tyson Fury's former trainer, he's not with him now, that which is interesting.
It's interesting.
I don't know like how that's gonna work out, but Ben Davidson and David Haye and a couple guys on BT Sport were doing like a little breakdown of the matchup and some of Wilder's tendencies versus Fury and things like that, and they really were saying was Wilder is a much better boxer than people will give him credit for. Of course, he has the dynamite in his hands, but he's very crafty in there and he's awkward. And he also does better in rematches.
Yeah.
I mean, he has seen Tyson now. He knows his movements. So it's like, what the hell is going
to
go down here? Like,
is Wilder
just going to be patient and just sit back and put on a performance kind of like how he did against Ortiz, where he's just like, take the first seven rounds and I'll lure you into a spot where I can deliver one blow.
Yes.
Because that's all he needs. That one blow on Luis Ortiz, one, it hit him in the forehead, which like shouldn't normally have a guy crumple like that, go down in folds.
And Ortiz is a big fucker too. So I was like, holy shit.
And it wasn't a wild, it was just boom, right off the hip.
Yep.
It is
that incredible power he must have, dude. Like just being able
indescribable
to do,
power.
I mean,
I would never
want to feel that, but I'm fascinated.
I would like, do it on the mitts.
Like hit my hand.
I'd wear
like
two shoulder braces.
Explode
and
your
say,
hand
yeah,
now.
Go.
No, I can't wait for that fight, dude. I'm so psyched. And it's on ESPN, right?
Well,
ESPN?
It's a dual broadcast because it's like Fury's with ESPN and then Wilder's with Fox and Showtime.
Okay,
so
yeah,
it's like
yeah.
That's also kind of what I don't know which one I'm going to watch yet, because it's going to be two separate pay-per-views and that means two separate crews calling the fights.
Yeah, exactly.
So I'm going to have to see who they got. Like,
well, who's on ESPN? It's Teddy.
I don't think it is going to be Teddy, honestly. And
that's a shame.
And
he's awesome.
I know there are rumors that Kellerman would do it, but like I don't even think he's going to be on it, which is such a shame because he did such a great job.
Yeah.
And I love him as a, you know, a ringside guy. You know, I think my favorite commentator, one, I like Mauro Ranallo.
Okay.
I love his style and like the Mamma Mia, like his go-to call with a knockout. It's like, but for actually analyzing but like what you're watching and breaking it down, I think Paulie Malignaggi is
Paulie's good.
Really
kind
of like stands alone in terms of the actual.
Well, he's
like,
he's
analyst.
A fighter, you know what I mean? He's a fighter. And I've always appreciated those guys that understood the technicalities of what was happening in front of them.
But the way he can relay it to you.
Yeah, you know, like I mean, look, for me, no doubt, it's always been Lampley. You know what I mean? And I hate that he's no longer in the game. You know, I hate what happened with that, you know, HBO boxing, because nobody has been able to do it that good. Nobody. And, you know, to me, that was like, oh, that one hurt. Even though I'd already been sort of, you know, I've was gone from HBO at that point. Only it was half a year later. It was like, what?
Mm-hmm.
It's gone? Are you fucking kidding me? You know? And, you know, I haven't seen anybody do it like they did. You know what I mean? But I'll always love the sport, dude.
That's my biggest criticism of DAZN recently is like, I love what they're doing with the paper. Like their, I'm blanking on the word here, but their subscription.
They're
so
streaming?
That service, I like, obviously it's great. $100 I can watch Canelo whenever he's going. like they're keep bringing on more and more guys. I'm like, this is great.
They
you know, because pay-per-views, it's like, shit, I'm paying $65 or whatever every single time. So in that sense, I love it, but the announcers are weak, I would say.
Yeah.
And like,
they need to up the, that's what I'm saying. They need to up
the energy of it. They're just
the production
like,
value of what they're doing in that sense.
Yeah.
Because you know what? Yeah. I love it. To be able to watch MMA, to be able to watch boxing on my phone and then just flick it up to my TV is dope without having to be like, I got to buy this shit, you know? And like, you know, I love that.
Yeah.
I love that. But I don't like hearing what I'm hearing. Sometimes right. I just watch it. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. But I think they can do it. You know, they actually brought on a lot of HBO people, to help out. Mm-hmm. But you know, I just really hope that you know they up what's going on with how they, you know,
present everything,
yeah. And you know, give dudes their dues. Meaning, yeah, I don't mind you bringing on YouTubers. You know, I don't mind it, dude. You know, it's entertaining. But put them where they belong.
Yeah,
you know
what I put mean? Them on their separate show.
Yeah, and you know, like
don't put them alongside actual title fights. Like no one wants to see guys fight for a belt and like, everything that goes into that.
It's like I've been training for 3 years, you know?
Yeah, it's like I've been what? Training for the last 6 months so kidding? Hard and yeah. like Big Bear. Like, yeah, oh, okay.
Get the fuck out of here, man. Like, look at that guy there that's on the undercard.
Yeah.
That dude's been fucking thirsty.
Been grinding.
Been grinding. Like, yeah, for real his whole fucking, life. Yeah. You know what? But nobody knows him. Mm-hmm. You know what? All right, you got, what is it, like a million likes for some stuff you were doing? Now I'm going to watch you fight? No.
No.
Yeah. Not at all.
No.
And that's what I want them to, like, tone back on and really bring boxing back. Because they took it. They took it, you mm-hmm. know? They mm-hmm. were gangster. They're yeah. like, we got the dough. We want it. It's
yeah.
ours now.
Yeah.
You know? Boxing is ours now, you know? And they did it. And I did a little bit of work with them, and I was really excited, but they need to do something proper with it, you know? Mm-hmm. If you're going to take something that's this amazing and valuable, you know, put it out there, you
right.
know? Promote it properly, you know what I mean? Try to at least bring back what, you know, HBO was doing and what Showtime's doing it. You know, I love the way they do the All Access. The right. epilogue shows, dude, epilogue shows that they're doing mm-hmm. are amazing.
Yeah, you know? the All Accesses have been really good. Like yeah. with the lead up with Wilder and Fury.
Yeah.
Those have been solid, I would yeah. say. Like I've enjoyed those with Wilder, especially in his camp and you know, getting an inside look with his team. I think, you know, with Wilder and Fury, it's just like so funny in terms of their distinct personas. Like
yeah.
Wilder's kind of this like funny, kind of like relaxed guy in camp. He's got like his kids running yep. around and like they're playing like reggae music uh-huh. and he's kind of just jamming, like going yeah. through his thing. And then he's just like also like an absolute like titan, like devastating, like
he's a fucking tight,
like menace, like uh-huh. like I've been very presence, very yeah. close to him in Gleason's gym in uh-huh. Brooklyn. This was prior to I'm blanking on which fight this was, but anyways, he was his open workout and he was yeah. hitting the mitts, and yeah, I was able to be like on the ring for it,
yeah,
and just to hear the sound of it. Oh, and God, like dude. His presence in general, it's like he has an aura about him.
He
like,
does have an
he
aura,
walks
yeah.
in, it's like he's 6'7", 6'8". Uh-huh. He's freaking shredded, like his body, he looks like Tommy Hearns but 6'7", uh-huh. you know, yeah. like his back, it's like a, he's just like a cobra, you know, like
dude, you're right, yeah.
And, he's got and, that. And his legs are so skinny, and then it's just like, who, this guy looks like an alien, like yeah. he does not look like a human being in there, and he's hitting like, you know, like a truck. So it's to witness that, it's like, oh my God, yeah. how see, can someone be in the ring with this and take these punches and Fury's
like, yeah, that's me. About, I'm that
like,
guy.
Yeah, he's like, I'm ready. Like, my chin's ready. It's like, I'm, dude,
I'm ready. He's guy. A hilarious dude though, you know, but you know what? He, in the last show we did, cause I worked on that show, the All Access for Showtime for that fight. He really put it out there about where boxing is in America. When he was, we did that scene when he was walking the streets, mm-hmm. asking people, "You know who your heavyweight champion here is?"
And they didn't know.
No one yeah. knew, and that was like, "Fuck, man!" Mm-hmm. You know, because he's such an amazing fucking guy, and he worked so hard to get there, and that's where I'm at with it all. I don't know if I'm gonna get back into boxing at that level, you know, and if I do, like, I really wanna, you know, take everything I've learned in this business and do my best to, you know, get people hype about it. Get people, like with 24/7, my wife, I remember we watched the first boxing match she ever watched. She was like, this is terrible. This is legal? This is allowed? And I was like, yeah, this is what I do. And she's like, oh my God. Like, this is, you know, she's Ukrainian. It's not, you know, she like, what the fuck is this? Like, and then we watched the 24/7. And by the end of it, she's like, I want that guy to win. And she was psyched about watching the fight because she became invested in, and it was Canelo, you know, I forget who was fighting. We watched it. And she's like, oh my God, he's so handy. Like, I was like, yeah, we did it. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
But it was that story that created a new fan. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? A person that found the sport like terrible. Like, I can't believe they're doing this to each other, you know, like to like fucking get him, you know, I want you to win. And I want to see more of that, you know, and the way to do that is don't preach to the choir. Me and you, we love boxing. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. Yeah, we can get the deeper like nuances of what's going on there. But at the same time, show something where someone who doesn't know anything about it can be like, well, I want to know what's going to happen here, you know?
Yeah.
Or it's like, whoa, this dude's super cool. Oh, this guy's hilarious. I want to see how he fights. Look how he's running on that treadmill in those little tiny shorts. It's fucking ridiculous. You know what I mean? That was like, I want to do more of that. You know what I mean? So, but I'm really psyched for what you're doing here. You know what I mean? Having these conversations from all angles, you know, to get a broader understanding of the sport.
No, I'm super excited about it on that level as well. Especially like being in Brooklyn, it's such a rich talent pool of fighters. There's so many champions, but also so many guys right now trying to have a career for themselves. And sort of what we were touching on the other day when we were having a coffee was the level of attention that these guys need.
They need it.
For not them only themselves, but people to understand their stories. Mm-hmm. They can draw from it, become emotionally attached to these guys in their city,
in their
neighborhood.
Exactly.
And then it becomes like an actual movement where people are getting behind their fighters in Brooklyn. They're coming up. It's like, these are our guys from really like a mecca of boxing in the U.S. I mean, Brooklyn has got to be one of the top.
Brooklyn has some of the best, you know, fighters out there, bro. You know,
yeah, it's like I think Brownsville has over 10 world champions or something from Brownsville.
One of my favorite guys, still, man, Daniel. You know, Danny Jacobs.
Yeah,
love him. Did stories with him, but he came out of there and he told awesome stories about Brooklyn.
Mm-hmm.
And if you know, it was a beautiful edit, man, where we just had, you know, this amazing Brooklyn state of mind. The energy of the environment and then bringing him in and just being like, dude, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
I would love that. Yeah. And I think telling the stories too of the journeymen.
Yeah.
Guys that, you know, made it to a certain point and they just didn't have it, but it's their passion. And they're now their job is essentially to train the younger guy who might have that shot.
Mm-hmm.
Find those dudes that are like, you know, these young cats that are in there like thirsty. Tell their story too, man. You know what I mean? Let's not just concentrate fully on the guy who already made it. You know what I mean? I think one of the conversations we were having in my last year at HBO Boxing was we need to promote a fight, but how do we promote the sport?
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean?
Yeah.
How do we tell the stories that promote the sport? Not the individual, not the one fight, but the fucking sport, man.
Yeah.
And the only way you do that is by showing it in a broad spectrum of what it is.
Yeah.
The stories that of a guy we'll never hear from ever again, but we told a story. Remember I was telling you about that? We shot an interview. We used to do this thing called Minutes for HBO, which we would show you a minute of content in between a round of a guy that's coming up or an undercard. And there was this young kid, and we interviewed him, and we asked him, well, how'd you get into boxing, you know?
Mm-hmm.
And he said, dude, I'm a vet, you know, I served in the Marines and or some branch of the military I served, and when I was done I came home, there was nothing for me, and I was going through a lot of, you know, depression, and I got fat, and I was on the couch smoking weed just getting fat, you know, and no motivation, and that warrior spirit came out and said, let me just get up and go for a walk. You know, so I got up and went for a walk. As I was walking, I heard a gym. I said, let me go check the gym out. It was a boxing gym. And I walked in and I was hooked. And I started sparring. I started fighting. And, you know, I started doing it. I got thirsty. And now look where I'm at. I'm about to be on HBO. You know what I mean? And it was all because I decided in that one moment to get up off my couch.
Mm-hmm.
And we're like, yo, that story's dope.
Right. Yeah.
We're never going to hear from this guy ever again.
Right.
This is his moment right now.
Right.
And this is his purpose right now,
right
to show this little story that could maybe one dude's watching HBO boxing and has the fucking, you know, the fortitude of, for the sport to watch an undercard, you know?
Yeah.
And you know what I mean? And then see the story and be like, yo, I can do this.
100%.
You know what I mean? And that's promoting the sport, not the fighter.
Exactly.
You know? So I think the more you do that, I mean, even with this show, find, you know, and I saw the last one you did and it was dope. You know what I mean? Like, find those people that have a passion for the sport.
Yep.
And, you know, let's talk, man.
Yeah.
You know,
because it really doesn't take, it doesn't take a Tyson Fury to get that out of people. Like, he inspired so many people through his battling his demons, coming back, like the bravery of going against Deontay, coming up off the deck in the 12th round. It was just like a symbol of his life. Yeah. Like, you know, he's down in the 12th. He gets up, probably wins the rest of the round, like stunned Deontay a couple times, like before the fight. But it's like his story isn't, there's so many of his story.
Yeah.
Throughout boxing that's just untold. Mm-hmm. So it's like, how can I find these people, not only that are rising up in the ranks, just old vets like you were talking about, like in Brooklyn. So it's like, I'm super excited to find those stories and totally find those people and shine the light on what is boxing
through the
and
Brooklyn
what is
lens,
boxing on in Brooklyn and what it means to the community and like what these gyms do for kids,
because that's relatable in any city, in any borough, of 100%. Any place. You know, you think about the places in Philly, like we said, you know, even if it's not Brooklyn for them, they know, like, well, that's us too. And you know what? We'll fight Brooklyn any fucking time. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that's what you're doing. And that's, if you can do more of that, like, hype up Brooklyn boxing. Mm-hmm. Hype up the personalities. Hype up the kids that are coming up. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
That are, I'm like, yo, they found boxing. And if they didn't, they'd be dead.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right.
Tell that story. Show, like, you know, the importance of that, you know? And yeah, pride. Pride in your borough, man. Pride in your fucking spot, you know?
Yeah. 100%.
And you know what? That dude from the Bronx be like, fuck Brooklyn. It's like, fuck. And then it's like, you know what? Hip hop. It's hip hop then, bro.
Yeah.
Battling you. We're going to battle, you know? And to me, that would be so dope. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Because then I get hyped. Then I'm like, oh, shit. It's fucking Brooklyn and Bronx. I want to know who wins this one. You know what I mean? So. That's important, man, you know, because people like you and me, we love this sport because we see it, you know. You're actually training now, and that's so dope, and you can, and that's going to make you more relatable to the people you talk to, you know.
Yeah.
And, you know, we need that. We need that because I'll always love it. Always.
Yep.
It's in my blood.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And, you know, there is a sadness with me not being involved in the sport as much as I was, you know, but you know, things happen, you move on and you need to do different things. But anytime I get an opportunity, dude, I will shoot something for my boxer friends, you know?
Yeah.
And just bring out those old, like, let's do a little piece on you, bro.
Yeah.
It's fun, you know?
100%. Yeah. I mean, the sport and, like, you know, we've talked about this, but the sport, it brings out something in people that nothing else does. You know, fighting just shows, like, the human spirit at its core. And, you know, there's moments in football, hockey, whatever, that you can find that. But boxing, fighting,
that's
it's
where
just,
it lives, bro.
That's where it lives. You see it, you can see it every weekend.
Yeah, uh-huh.
And, you know, it's just, like, a beautiful thing to watch. Uh-huh. And boxing, for me, I love MMA and all forms, but boxing, there's something like romantic
about
last man on his feet and just hands.
It's just two hands, man, and you're there and you're you know, in that squared circle, bro.
Yeah.
And like full circle, man. Now me and my brother, the old dudes, and my brother's fighting the air when he's watching him fight. You know what I mean? And his young boy's looking at him like, yo, my dad's crazy. What's he doing? And he's like, ooh, you know?
And now it's back. Now we got Wilder and Fury. Oh, it's like the heavyweight. Yeah. It's finally back.
We need more heavyweights, bro. Come on.
It's all at our fingertips. So it's like.
I've always loved all the classes. I'm not one of those guys that I was like, I love the little guys.
I
love the big guys, you know?
I hear you.
They each had their values, dude. You know?
Oh, 100%. Dude, but like, it's just the heavyweight, though, when that's in play.
Yeah.
That's when it just brings in everybody.
Because those are, like you said, they're titans, bro. And to watch people bigger than life go at it, it's amazing. And when you're there live and you hear it, holy shit. I remember the first time I heard a heavyweight hit another person in the ring. I was like, what the fuck? That does not translate through the fucking television, bro.
No.
No, you got to be there. You got to be there. So go to a fight.
Yeah.
You. Go to the fights, man. You'll love it, man.
Yeah.
You know? I love it. But yeah, I you know, dude, this is awesome. We gotta tell these stories. You know? And just find those crazy dudes, man.
Yeah. Know? No, we'll continue to do it. So
awesome.
You know, it's been so much fun talking to you and like
straight
your
up, bro.
Story.
Thanks for having me.
But before I let you go, though, I need you to give me a little quick breakdown of Wilder Fury. What do you think is gonna happen, man?
Oh man, you know what, man? I think it's gonna be very similar to that first fight. You know, I think it's really gonna have that dynamics. You know, oh God, I hate saying this. I've always hated this. I always get like, no, man, I love them both. You know what I mean? They're good, but to be realistic, I think that Fury is got a slight edge.
Yeah.
At this fight, I think so. But for me, you know what? Never, I can never count out Wilder's strength, you know, and that punching factor. You know what I mean? Like, look what happened. Fury was winning that fight. He was winning that fight. You know, he was doing it. We were like, oh, it's over. He's winning the fight.
There's really only two rounds that could have gone to Deontay.
Yeah.
When he got the knockdowns, but
you know what Deontay does. But if Fury learned from that lesson, if he learned, you know, like what how it happened and why it happened, he's got this fight, because he's just gonna outbox. You know what I mean? And that's how I see it going. But don't take my word for it, dude, because we all saw what happened last time. But
right.
We also saw that dude resurrect himself, which was off the hook amazing.
Crazy.
Like literally, like it was like,
yeah. I mean, that was the highlight of the fight.
That's what made, yeah, you know.
Which is like, when is that the moment where people focus on someone getting off the deck?
Yeah.
That's what people remember. He got up.
He got up. And Grant, I remember he was there. He was like, what the fuck? When it was the draw, he was like, what the fuck? Did you see how he got up?
The announcers, too.
Yeah,
they're like,
that's not a draw.
He's getting up.
He should win just on that. You know, getting up, like, and seeing, oh my God, seeing fucking Deontay's face when he was like this.
Oh my God. Like, he went like this. He was.
He looked over and he was like, wait, what is happening? You know?
It was like seeing
so
a
no
ghost,
matter where
yeah.
it goes, you know, it's going to be a dope fight. You know what I mean? But if Fury definitely learned from that first experience, man, he's got this. You know what I mean? But if that's what I'm saying, ebbs and like back and forth here.
Yeah,
if Wilder, I mean, if Deontay's like, yo, now I know. You know what I mean? I'm not going to fucking pussyfoot with this guy. I'm going to fucking, you know, bomb squad.
He was looking for it, too, in the first fight. Like, he was looking for the knockout.
Yeah.
And, like, oh, man, there's
If he just applies pressure, and, like, doesn't allow Fury to box, he's got the fight.
Yeah.
You know? So those are the two
It's
ways.
Impossible to predict because it's, like, is Fury's the best boxer in the heavyweight division.
Uh-huh.
But Wilder truly, like, I don't care how many times you say it, he's one punch.
That's all it takes, bro.
That's all he needs.
And look, how
so,
many rounds does
and
he
how
have to
hard
do
is it to avoid
one
getting
punch.
Hit once by Jeez, his right
so
hand clean?
Hard.
Just
so
once.
Fucking hard,
that's all he needs.
Uh-huh.
So it's like Fury needs to fight a perfect fight.
He does.
He needs to be perfect.
And you know what? He was like,
and he was almost in the first one. And now it's like he's in better shape. So it's like maybe he can.
Maybe.
I don't know. It's impossible to predict.
That's
like,
why you chose a tough one for me.
Yeah.
You know, because it was like, fuck. I mean, I see like the reality of both. But, you know, but the only thing I will predict is going to be dope to watch.
It's going
to
be dope. Everyone's got to tune in and watch it. This is an iconic fight. It's got to be the biggest heavyweight matchup since Lennox and Tyson, really. I mean, that's
since
this
that
is
era,
the, and it's
yeah.
UK, US. These are the guys too. I don't want to. I know Joshua.
I should know, but where is the fight? Where's
it's in the US.
It's in the
Vegas.
US. It's in Vegas.
I believe. No. Yeah, it's in Vegas.
I hate Vegas fights, but
so. But yeah, UK, US.
Should've been here in New York, man. Come on.
I know.
You know, we got the Barclays now, yo. Although, never turn your back on the MSG. Come on, that's history.
I know.
I love it.
Maybe we'll see, the winner of this versus Joshua in MSG.
Yeah.
I know Joshua's got to defend his belt probably.
Yeah.
One of the mandatories, which is so annoying because it's like, get on with it. Like,
get on with it, yeah.
We don't want to see Joshua and, like, Joshua and Pulev is a good fight. I would enjoy that fight. I would watch the fight because I'm a fan.
Yeah.
But it's like, I don't want to see Joshua.
No.
Get him in there with Wilder or Fury.
Oh, my God.
Now.
Dude. Right now.
Like,
whoever wins this fight right here, man.
Like, I want to know now.
Next.
Like,
yeah.
Capitalize on this moment. Like, this is, like, how we're going to bring boxing back.
That's another Joshua.
Is like,
I love watching him, bro.
I love, yeah, Joshua is the man. Like, yeah. I can't hate on Joshua, no, but I think he gets knocked out viciously by Deontay.
But he'll do it as a gentleman.
He'll be a gentleman about it. I respect him. Like, I think he's like, you know, he's the man. He's a great fighter.
Yeah.
First of all, I mean, those three guys stand alone.
Yeah.
I mean, that's credit. It. Ruiz pulled it off. I get it. But
that was a fluke to me.
It's the heavyweight one. Yeah. And that's what's great is one. Yeah, it's the one
heavyweight
punch.
One punch, bro.
So it's like, Ruiz did it, you know, and good for him. You know, he's set for life now, or awesome, he should be. Dude. So it's like, but those three guys are standalone.
Yeah.
I need to know who is the guy.
I hope we will.
Who is the guy?
I hope we will. Know? I hope we will. But for now, we got a great one.
We got a great one. We got to appreciate this matchup, that they were able to get it done, that they were able to survive their fights to get to this moment. Because Fury with the cut and everything. Like,
yeah, that's true. That's
against Otto Wallin, the Swedish guy.
Yeah, that one. Oh, my God. That pushed everything back, too.
And with that cut, like, he easily could have lost. They could have called that. And so that'll be another interesting factor if Wilder hits him with a jab and pops that open.
Well, he's cuttable, you know. Now, I mean, that's anytime you see that happen to a fighter, you know, if you touch that place again, man, you can do it. You can rip it open.
Yeah. So it's gonna be. There's so many factors in it, and it's like, I don't know. All you got to say is you got to tune in. You got to check this out, because this fight is going to be one for the history books. I mean, it's an iconic matchup, and whoever wins this fight most likely will get Joshua, or, you know, there'll be probably a rematch eventually, but this is really going to stake claim as I'm the baddest dude on the planet after this fight.
The heavyweight of the planet.
And I think it will get the promotion, because I don't see this ending. This isn't going to be a snooze fest.
I've heard, man, so many people are promoting this.
Mm-hmm.
That Fury is actually, you know, because I have friends on the crew for the PVC show that's being done for Fox, I think, or ESPN. And Fury's, I mean, so many people are coming through the gym to shoot.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And he's actually been, he's like, no, fuck this.
Yeah, I saw them. He said, get the cameras out. This is man's work.
You know? So they definitely know that they need to promote this and get it out there.
Yeah.
But we got to find different avenues to put things out there. You know, we got to really exploit social media better, you know. To bring it back on that, we got to stop speaking to the choir. You know, you build hype with expanding your fan base. You expand your fan base. And I know I beat this with a fucking dead horse by the stories we tell.
Yep.
You know what I mean? And being honest with, like, who these people are. You know what I mean? Don't be afraid. If the guy's an asshole, he's a fucking asshole, you know?
Yeah.
But they're like, we weren't afraid with Fury's story on that last All Access. We were like, yo, this dude was fucked up. You know, on drugs, heavily on drugs.
Yeah.
Alcoholic. Boom. You know what I mean? And thank God he had the support around him to help him come back. Mm-hmm. But it took him to do it, you know? He knew, he was like, I was gonna die. You know what I mean? And you know, that story compounded with, like, he resurrected his story, his narrative, and literally did it in the ring.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And like you said, that's a fucking movie, man.
It's a movie, you man. Know? He resurrected himself and boxing in a lot of ways, too. Yeah. So
we need more boxing movies, bro.
More boxing movies,
dude,
man.
There's not many, and a lot of them are just shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
but, you know,
corny a little bit.
Super corny. Yeah. The Fighter was awesome, though.
Yeah, I enjoyed that one.
But of course, I'm a Ward, man.
Yeah.
Those guys, those two, bro. One's dead. Sorry, Gotti.
I know.
You know, you got. You know, in the end, you were dope. But Ward is around. On that doc I told you about, we followed Ward to the Hall of Fame where Gotti was being inducted, and he was going to accept, you know, in behalf of Gotti.
Yeah, it's crazy. And they were tight after that.
Oh,
so.
Dude. Like,
sad. Yeah.
But, you know, that's the thing about this sport. Two dudes can beat the fuck out of each other and then hug. You know what I mean? And that's what's beautiful about it. It's like the integrity, and there is respect, you know? And of course, there's dudes that hate each other. That's everything. But imagine punching a dude and getting punched by a dude for 12 rounds, and at the end of it, you're like, yo, man, I love you, bro.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? What other sport could do that? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Very rare.
Yeah, it's unique in that sense. So,
yeah.
We got a gem coming up, man. So everyone tune into this fight.
Tune
it's
the fuck
epic.
In, dude. It's gonna be
tune
epic.
Tune in, and thanks a lot, man.
Oh, dude, brother.
Hey, blast talking
No worries,
to you.
Bro.
And like I said, tune into the fight. It's gonna be one that you cannot miss. So thanks, guys.